Good morning, everyone. Welcome to you, and thanks for being with us this Sunday as we gather together for worship. Now, a lot can be gleaned by looking at the ancient world through certain sources. One of the sources that we have, and it's a marvelous, albeit tragic source, is the ancient city of Pompeii. Everybody knows that Pompeii was buried in ashes and soot and rocks and grime when the volcano that was just right next door erupted, and very suddenly everyone lost their life. And as tragic and terrible as that is, it has, however, given us some interesting insight into the day-to-day life of Pompeians. What was life like for people who lived in the ancient world? There have been some real surprises with this particular set of archaeological remains, partially that we get to see not just the leftover big important buildings, but we get to see the minutia of day-to-day life. What did people's hair combs look like? What kind of clothes did they wear? What kind of colors were their clothes in? And one of the things that I found particularly interesting is the fact that the city of Pompeii was full of fast food restaurants. I know that doesn't sound like that's the sort of thing that you would expect in ancient Greece, but the simple fact of the matter is there are all of these restaurants scattered throughout Pompeii that have basically what looks like a cafeteria line. You walk through the line, you pick up the items you want, you pay, you walk out, you go home. It's a fast food restaurant, and the fact that these were part of day-to-day life I find fascinating, because I think when we think about ancient Greeks and Romans, we think about them doing all sorts of different day-to-day tasks, but stopping off at McDonald's isn't one of those. One of the interesting things that they've discovered is that there are certain fixtures that are part of the day-to-day life of the various homes. And one of them is a fascinating fixture, and that is outside of the bigger houses, you would have sort of the things you would expect around a mansion or a big house. You would have like a carriage house for the horses and a stable, and you might have a servant's quarters. But one of the recurring themes is outside of these large houses, there was oftentimes right outside of the gate a bench. It wasn't because they had a busing system and people were waiting at the bus stop, although if they have fast food, who knows, maybe they did have buses. No, the benches were there because in the ancient culture of that day, it was not unusual for the poor of the city to come and to sit on those benches at the end of the day. The expectation being that whatever leftovers the rich people in that household had would be carried out in doggy bags and distributed among the poor people who were sitting on the benches. And on multiple levels, this makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you think about a culture and society where there's fast food but no refrigerators, your leftovers have to go somewhere. It's not like you're gonna, you know, save that leftover pot roast for tomorrow. So it all went out either into the garbage, which seems like a waste of food, or it went to the poor people. And actually in ancient Israel, not only did they have the same sorts of benches outside of wealthy people's homes, but they had all sorts of systems set up where you could even send your food and your leftovers to a central location that then would be distributed amongst the poor. Which, if you think about the fact that this is all happening 2,000 years ago, is a fairly remarkable concept and proves that God's people have been behaving in a certain way, well, for millennia, and specifically caring for those who are needy. It was not unusual in Jesus' day that people made a living begging. In fact, sometimes even ancient church sources considered the beggars not only a normal part of life, but an essential part of life. The beggars were there to remind the average citizen how important it was to be generous. And so as the beggars sat next to the road, they served a useful pro-social function. They reminded people to be generous and selfless and were considered a social function, a good part of a day-to-day life. So we get this story now about this person named Lazarus. And sometimes scriptures will render him a beggar named Lazarus. Sometimes it will simply say a poor man named Lazarus. Poor man is the more accurate translation. And part of that is because it's literally what the words in Greek say. But part of it is the fact that Lazarus is a lousy beggar. And I don't mean that he was a bad guy. I mean he was bad at begging. Because what we know about Lazarus is, instead of being like the normal beggars who go to the sites where they distribute the food, or instead of being like other beggars who go from door to door, or even position themselves in good spots on busy roads, Lazarus has posted up on somebody's doorstep. He's sitting on the bench, if you will. But here's the problem. It's not a good bench. In fact, it's a terrible bench. We're told that he sits there day after day after day, and he receives nothing for his effort. And this is fairly surprising if you read what Jesus says about the rich man. It says that he was feasting and celebrating every single day. That means every single day he's had these enormous feasts cooked with more food than anyone could possibly eat, and no refrigeration or means of actually preserving the leftovers. So the theory then would be that he is himself wasting all of his leftovers. And the scripture says all the man really wanted was the leftovers, which he never received. Now, why wasn't Lazarus out working the circuit? Why wasn't he looking for the distribution points where the food was going to be? Why wasn't he at least going to somebody else's doorstep? Because this one clearly isn't working out. We don't know for sure. But the story would certainly lead us to infer that he was simply too sick. Because we're told that he was covered in a horrible skin disease. And that he eventually, shortly actually in the story, dies of his disease. So here we have this image of an individual who's sitting on one of these waiting benches outside a rich person's house with a rightful expectation that the rich person will, at the end of the day, basically bring the trash out and say, okay, I couldn't eat this chicken, I couldn't eat this bread, I couldn't eat this fruit, it's going to go bad by tomorrow morning, it's yours to have. That never happens. And so the poor man who can't find a better location, who's stuck waiting, hoping that this person who has too much will give him some, and it never succeeds. And then the story changes to heaven, well, and hell, because here we have Lazarus and the rich man. And at this point we find out that the rich man, who was in all ways, shapes, and forms selfish, is being punished for his sins. And Lazarus, who was actually a very virtuous man, albeit poor, is receiving his reward. And at this point, it might be very easy for us as readers to take this as a cautionary tale. To take this as, well, the scriptures and Jesus sort of shaking their finger at us and saying, so you better be good. You better take care of those who are in need, or else there's punishment on one hand or reward on the other hand. And it's fair to take that as a cautionary tale. But there's something deeper happening here that really bears looking into. And that is the simple fact that the pauper, the poor man, is now living in the lap of luxury. He is now receiving all that he didn't have in life. He's well fed, he's well cared for, he's well loved, he's healthy, and he's going to experience this for the rest of all of eternity. And this is a reminder to other people listening to the story other than the Pharisees and Sadducees. See, the cautionary tale part, Jesus wants the Pharisees and Sadducees to hear that, because they're confronting him about his ministry. He wants them to hear his complaint. They don't care about the needs of those who are at most risk in this world. But there's a second piece to this, and this is for everybody else listening but the Pharisees and Sadducees. He wants everybody to know that if you change your perspective just a little bit, and God now is the rich person with more than he needs, with abundant wealth, with, well, the best leftovers in all of existence, what can we expect of God? How is God going to treat us poor, sick, with sin people who are now ourselves camped out on his doorstep. Can we expect God to save his leftovers and not give us any? Can we expect God to come out and give us just enough to get by? Well, the story tells us just the opposite. The story tells us that God has come and sent his angels to deliver Lazarus to heaven. God's not just going to give enough for the poor, the broken, the sick, the disheartened, the sinners. He's not just going to give them enough to get by. He's going to actually lift them up and bring them into his kingdom. So that when we sit, poor, helpless beggars that we are, in the waiting benches outside the kingdom of heaven, well, it's not like the angels come out and toss us a doggy bag. They open the gates up and they escort us inside and they sit us down right at the feasting table. And there we stay for all eternity. It is a reminder that as much as this world is full of brokenness, and as much as this world is full of those who don't share, who don't care about the needs of others, the kingdom of heaven is different. God loves us very, very deeply, and he can't wait to welcome us home to be a part of his kingdom forever, where he has prepared for you and for me an endless table of blessing that we will partake in for all eternity.